Take your Bibles this morning and go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. We've been working through the armor of God and talking about spiritual warfare. Last week we talked about the importance of truth and understanding truth and asking ourselves the question, what truth do we need to believe to contradict the lies that are in the world today? And the source of truth being the Word of God. And recognizing that truth comes from God and that lies and deception come from the evil one that seeks to rob, steal, destroy, and kill. And in verse number 14 is where we got the teaching on truth. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Foundational. What is truth? Where do I find truth? It comes from the Word of God, and I apply that truth to my life. And then the second statement here in verse number 14. We'll probably talk about this for a couple weeks at the end of verse number 14, where the Bible says this, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now there's no shortage of opinions regarding exactly what this means. And we could get into some technical terms, whether we're talking about practical righteousness or positional righteousness, as we get to the verse number 14, whether the author is saying, well, live out a righteous life, and there's no doubt that that is a part of what is being said here, or whether this verse is talking about positional righteousness, which is what we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I felt led this week to help us understand what righteousness is, and how do I get righteousness? Because that is a question that the world asks. And it's also not only a question that the world asks, it's also a question that the world seeks to answer. How do I get righteousness? If you study Scripture and you've memorized verses, you've probably come across verses such as in Romans 3, where the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Righteousness. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. So how do I get righteousness? Forget understanding the breastplate completely, which we will seek to explain next week. We need to first answer the question, where does righteousness come from, and how can I have righteousness when the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And even in Romans 6, where the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So if we turn through the pages of Scripture, we will find time and time again, as God reveals man to himself, and man begins to recognize our sinful condition. And we begin to realize the Bible calls my righteousness, the righteousness that I produce by myself, that is actually called filthy rags. The Apostle Paul goes even further with the description of righteousness where he calls it waste or worthless. That the righteousness that I produce of my own ability and my own accord, it is counted as nothing compared to the righteousness of a holy God. And so as I look through Scripture, I find my inability to produce what is required for righteousness. And so then if I continue to study, and I'm going to show you many verses, I'll realize that the Scripture teaches that my righteousness comes from a source outside of myself. And that's where people typically get tripped up. Because there's many religions, there's many churches, there's many ideas that our righteousness is produced by us. We make statements about this. And I was talking about this Wednesday night as we were studying the book of Hebrews, that we'll even make a statement, we'll say something like this, somebody that was a good person dies and will make a statement, say, well, if they didn't make it to heaven, Nobody will. We say stuff like that. But what is that saying? That's saying that that person was a good enough person to get to heaven, and that is why they're there. And if I can be like they were, then I may get there as well. People have this idea that someone squeaks into heaven, just barely gets in by some sort of effort or work that they have done of themselves. It's so easy, even in Christian circles, to have our own righteousness begin to sneak in to our credit with God. Forgetting the verses that said that we've all sinned, forgetting the verses that our righteousness is as filthy rags, we still want to give ourselves some credit. We still want to say that we can earn or accumulate enough righteousness to be acceptable with God. The Bible clearly states that that is not the case, and that my righteousness comes from a source outside of myself, and it is my righteousness that allows me to be in heaven is given to me or credited to me on the basis of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can learn a fancy term called imputation. Say that with me. Imputation. Doesn't that sound good? Imputed righteousness. It has the idea of crediting something to an account, to our account. Our righteousness that we need is a righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, and His righteousness is imputed to me. Now, if I have been given the very righteousness of Jesus Christ, is there such a thing as just squeaking into heaven? If I have been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ, is there such a thing as saying, well, if he made it, I'm worried about myself, or she made it, I'm worried about myself. We have to recognize that God has made a plan of salvation for mankind whereby he credits them with the very righteousness of Jesus Christ based upon your faith in him alone. End of story. Christ is the only way, the only one, and the only source of righteousness for mankind. And I'm going to show you this throughout Scripture. Go to the book of Romans, chapter number 4. The book of Romans, chapter number 4, and we'll go to verse number 5. Romans 4 and verse number 5, righteousness. How do I get righteousness? He says in Romans 4, but to him, that could mean you or I, right? But to the person reading this, but to him, you or I, but to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned. That's verse 4, go to verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. The Bible says this, his faith, whose faith? The faith that I place in the finished work of Jesus Christ. See, the devil has been telling lies for a long time that Jesus' work was not enough. The devil tells lies that Jesus' cross was not sufficient for my salvation. It needs to be Christ plus this, or Christ in addition to this. It's Christ alone. Christ alone for salvation. So he says, but to him that worketh not, our salvation is not earned, it is given by grace. Our salvation is not deserved, it is given by grace. It is something that God has done for mankind through Jesus Christ. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. And I've explained the word justified, it's a legal term, a declaration of innocence. He says in verse number 5, he justifieth the ungodly. So just in case you were wondering that maybe you're too bad to be made righteous, the Bible says here, he justifies who? The ungodly. That's what salvation is. That's what Christ came to do. He came for sinners. He came to provide righteousness for the unrighteous. He justifies the ungodly. Don't run from God who is seeking to save you through Christ. This is God's plan. And again, I've said this before. I believe this, and maybe you don't agree with me. That's okay. I believe God delights in forgiving sinners through Christ. It's what He has done. It's His plan. It's His work. It's the part of what God has accomplished through Christ, that He would receive glory for His plan of salvation. He says this, He justifies the righteous, no, the ungodly. He's justifying and forgiving the ungodly. And then He says this, look at this, I love the end of verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith. Faith in whom? His faith in Christ. Now listen, I'm just going to say this. I did not design the plan of salvation. I imagine you know that, right? I did not make it up. I did not design it. This is God's word. This is what God has to say. Can I understand everything about it? No. Do you understand everything about it? No. Why is it that God has chosen to save through faith? Because God has always operated on the principle of faith. He wants you to respond to what He has revealed to you through His word. And He says in verse 5, this is what God says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's what the Bible tells us in Timothy. He says this, His faith is counted. It's counted for what? For righteousness. It's the object of our faith. Our faith must be in the person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith cannot be in a baptism tank. Some people say, I'll say, have you ever trusted Christ? Well, I've been baptized. I'm not trying to be mean to you, but my friend, baptism saves nobody. Zero. The water does not wash away your sin. The Bible says the blood of Christ washes away sin. Jesus is the one that provides righteousness. Say, well, I've lived a good life. That's not what brings salvation. It's faith in Jesus Christ. We do a disservice to what Christ has done when we seek to add our own ideas and our own efforts to His work upon the cross. My friend, if there was a way for you to be saved other than through the cross, maybe that's what would have been done. That's what the Bible says. But there was no other way. There's no source of righteousness other than God Himself. And so Christ comes in the image of God and pays a penalty that I could not pay, that I could have righteousness credited to my account through my faith in Jesus and what He has done. Just in case you need further proof of this, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Love this passage. One of my favorites. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. I've read this to you before, but boy, this is a great passage. He says, for He, I believe that's speaking of the Father, for He hath made Him, I believe that's speaking of the Son. Just those words alone immediately tell you that this is something God has done to provide righteousness for mankind. For He hath made Him. Get rid of religion, all those things. I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but sometimes religion can get in the way of truth, right? Get all that out of your mind. This is what God is saying. He hath made Him. This is God's plan. This is what God has ordained for the salvation of mankind. And I've mentioned before that it is God that we have sinned against. It is God that determines the way of reconciliation. You understand that, right? If it's God's law you violated, God is the one that determines your way of reconciliation. So He says this, for He, verse 21, the Father, hath made Him, the Son, to be sin for us. That's another imputation, that Christ was given my sin, which He did not have, and I am given His righteousness, which I did not have. What a transaction. He says this, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus lived a perfect sinless life. Jesus did what no man could ever do. Look in the deepest ocean, you'll find no other Savior. Look at the highest space, you'll find no other Savior. Turn over every rock you've ever been, go to the highest mountains, you'll find no other name given among men whereby we can be saved. Jesus only. He says this, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Now here's the purpose of this. Why did he do that? Why did he make Jesus sin for me when he knew no sin? Here's why. Look at what he says. That we, now I'm finally involved, right? That we might be made. The idea of becoming something that I was not, right? You're becoming something that you are not. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Transaction. Jesus took my sin, and I receive, when I put my faith in him as my Savior, I receive his very righteousness. Now let me tell you something. This is another thing. This just came to my mind. I want to address this quickly. This will be bonus time, okay? We get this on day one of salvation. The moment you're saved, you receive the very righteousness of Christ. But I'm going to tell you something that many Christians, I believe, struggle with. Do you realize this is something that you have forever? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. The first day of salvation, we're like, yes, I know. But a year later, we're like, oh, maybe it's a little bit about me. Maybe I need a little bit of credit. The righteousness of Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and we are kept in Christ. I have his righteousness, and from the moment of my salvation, understand this, God sees me as positionally righteous in Christ. That is now who I am. That is my identity. I am positionally seen in Jesus Christ. Hot diggity dog. That's who I am. I have been saved and forgiven and now viewed positionally in Jesus Christ. I have been made righteous in him, he says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Go back to Romans one more time. Romans chapter number 4. Romans 4 and verse number 22. A little bit of an example here. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 22. He's talking about Abraham. And he says this. We'll go back a few verses. Verse number 20. Sorry, Monty. Verse 20 in chapter 4. Talking about Abraham. He says he staggered not at the promise of God. He's proving an example of what God has done through faith. He says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was able to perform it. And therefore, it was, I love this, imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written, he says in verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead. So he says Abraham believed God and it was imputed, credited, right? You could say that. It was credited to him for righteousness, believing God. And he says that is an example for us because he says us also, he mentions in verse number 23, not written for his sake alone, but was that it was imputed to him, verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. What? What's going to be imputed? Say number one, why are we talking about imputed so much? Remember, it means credited. Credited righteousness. It shall be credited when we believe on Jesus Christ. This is God's plan of salvation. This is what he has determined. And the way he has determined that man is saved is through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are given the very righteousness of Christ. And you are viewed in that position. Romans 5 and verse number 19. Just a few more other verses. Romans 5 and verse number 19. We could go into some long explanation here, but he says, for as by one man's disobedience, Many were made sinners. Okay. I won't go on and on with the word imputed again, but just for a second, you do understand that the reason Adam disobeyed in the Garden of Eden, and I was given an imputation of sin because of him. I'm a sinner. For as by one man's disobedience went, many were made sinners. That's talking about Adam disobeying in the garden, and because of his disobedience, I'm a sinner. So then he says this, so by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Talking about Christ. Christ who came and died on the cross for my sin, because of what he did, many shall be made righteous. Go to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3 in your Bible. Just a couple more verses. Philippians 3. I love this. Verse number 9. Philippians 3 and verse number 9. Just in case we still had a doubt where our righteousness comes from, we are reminded of that in Philippians 3 and verse number 9. And be found in him. That's Jesus. And being found in him, he says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of a law, but the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I am found in him, not having mine own righteousness. That's man's ability. But I have the very righteousness of Christ. That's what he says in verse number 9, which is by faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. So let me answer the question that I began with. Put on the breastplate of righteousness? How do I get righteousness? I get it from Christ. Well, how do I get righteousness from Christ? I have put my trust, my confidence, my faith, my dependence on him instead of myself. I have recognized my own inability. I have recognized my sinful state. And I recognize that he is the only Savior. And I put my faith in him alone for salvation. And I receive his righteousness. And I am viewed in his righteousness. I am positionally in him. Colossians 1 and verse number 27, he says this. I love this. Colossians 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Okay, what's the mystery? Everyone loves a good mystery. Here it is. He says in verse number 27, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory, he says. Christ in us, the hope of glory. How do I get the righteousness I need? It's found in Christ and received by faith. Let me ask you a question this morning. Whose righteousness are you counting on? I know we don't like to talk about this, but there'll be a day where each of us will leave this earth. And you have two options. You will either be clothed in the righteousness of your own efforts and your own works, or you will be clothed in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. Those who are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith in his finished work will spend eternity in heaven. Those who have sought to clothe themselves and those who seek to provide their own righteousness will spend eternity separated from God. And I know we don't like to mention the word hell, but it's real. And it's a place that you do not want to be. We must have Christ's righteousness, for we have none of our own. There's a song written, I believe it's called, yeah it is, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. It says this, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils its lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And then verse 4, my favorite one. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. In Him my righteousness alone, faultless I stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. My friend, how can you have righteousness? It comes through Christ alone. Throw out all other thoughts. Throw out your self-dependence. Throw out the things that you thought and tried to produce of your own. Christ has done what was needed. He made Him to be sin for us, that I might receive the righteousness of God in Him. Let's bow our heads together. Joanna and Bethany are going to come and lead us and play a song for us this morning. There's nothing more important than knowing you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nothing. As they play for us this morning, I want to ask you a simple question. Answer this within your own heart. If you were to stand before God today, would the righteousness you're trusting in be upheld? Are you trusting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ for all eternity? Have you put your faith in Him for salvation? Has God credited to your account the very righteousness of Jesus? Are you resting in Him today? If there's anybody here that's never trusted Jesus, the Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Holy Spirit's working in your heart today. He can tell you what you need to say. Call to Jesus. Receive His righteousness by faith in His finished work. Christian here today, just take a moment to thank the Lord for what He's done. Imagine yourself as a Christian. Imagine this in your mind. If you've trusted in Christ, you have His very righteousness. Put yourself in that position. That's how He sees you. That's how you're known to God. In Christ. In Christ. That's your breastplate of righteousness. In Him. Amen. I pray that we can trust in God's righteousness and know where it comes from. Let's stand to our feet for just a moment, and Monty's going to put our final verse. I love this verse. This is Isaiah 61:10. It's a little longer than normal, but I think we got this. Let's say this together. Ready? I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Isaiah 61:10. I like that. That's good. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all you've done. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your love. Can we ever say thank you enough for the righteousness we have been given through Jesus Christ? Oh, Lord, may the Holy Spirit show us, reveal, and apply these truths to our lives. And may we recognize who we are in him. Lord, show us. If there be anybody here today that's never trusted Christ, work in their heart. May the Spirit of God reveal sin and salvation in Christ to them. And Lord, may they find true and lasting joy in Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.